I'm Kate Remington. I'm talking with Yuga Kohler. He's one of the candidates for the post of conductor and music director of the Ridgefield Symphony. And Yuga, it's great to have a chance to meet you and talk a little bit.
Yeah, great to be here. And I'm excited for the concert in Ridgefield.
Yeah, I'll bet. What was it about this gig with the Ridgefield Symphony that got you interested in applying in the first place?
Well, as a young conductor, you're always looking for opportunities to not only perform music, but shape the music that's performed in the community. You know, those opportunities are scarce when you're starting out as a conductor, but as you go on, those opportunities surface. Ridgefield happens to be a town I have some connections with. One of my college roommates is from there, and one of my best friends from grad school is from a town right nearby, and the orchestra there has a great tradition. So it seemed very natural for me to apply.
Oh, that's so cool. Well, how long has the process been so far? I mean, what were like the first steps and what has it taken so far to get to this point to be one of the finalists?
The whole thing probably started roughly 8 months ago, 9 months ago, something like that, where I heard through the grapevine that, you know, the Ridgefield Symphony was soliciting applications for the music director position. So I submitted my resume, some conducting video samples. They got back to me. We went back and forth a little bit talking about, what thoughts I had on the symphony. And then that ultimately led to the concert we're going to have on October 7th.
Yeah, which is really exciting. The program's really interesting, too. You'll be doing the Elgar Cello Concerto with Julian Schwartz. Have you worked with him before?
I have. We were classmates at Juilliard. Julian is one of the artists I respect the most. He's such a talented and thoughtful musician who has such a diverse, wide range of knowledge when it comes to music. We've done numerous concerts together, and I'm looking forward to working with him.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be fun to have a friend on stage, yeah, for
definitely.
Sure. The Rimsky-Korsakov Scheherazade is also on the program, and that maybe has some interesting challenges, too, because there's also a real meaty part for a violin solo. So, in a way, that's almost like a concerto as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a legendary solo for the concertmaster. It's one of the staples of the repertoire. It's a wonderful piece with so much imagination, and you can really feel being transported back into that era. And it's very difficult, too. So it'll be an interesting challenge to put it together in a short amount of time.
Yeah, I'll bet. Is that a piece that's been in your repertoire up until now, or did you have to, like, cram and learn it really fast?
It's a piece I've conducted in a variety of ways before. This is actually my first sort of public performance, though.
Oh, that's going to be really exciting. And then there's an interesting piece by contemporary composer Paul Frucht called Dawn, which is just beautiful. And I know you were an oboist originally before you switched to conducting, and I heard a really juicy oboe part in Dawn. Did that have any influence at all on your choice of that piece?
To be honest, the choice of the piece actually had a lot to do with the composer. He is from the neighboring town of Danbury, Connecticut. And he is, you know, one of my best friends from Juilliard. He's about to get his doctoral degree from Juilliard. And the piece is, it has a very somber subject, which is about the tragic shooting that happened at Sandy Hook Elementary in 2012.
That's going to be a really moving experience for everyone then, because it is so close to home. So it's a brave choice, I think.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about your background. You had an opportunity. Well, actually, I'll back up even further than that. As an oboist, it sounds like you didn't have a lot of opportunities to just hang with your friends and jam and make music, which was one of the reasons why you started thinking about becoming a conductor. But like, what was the real tipping point that made you think that this is a way to have a career in music?
The career question came probably much later than the conducting as a legitimate and primary way of making music issue. I started getting very interested in conducting as a teenager, around when I was 15 or 16, I had a wonderful band teacher, Jeffrey Leonard, at my high school, Lexington High School, who let me, you know, study conducting with him, conduct some rehearsals, even a piece on a concert. And as I continued with that in college, I became more and more immersed in the world of the conductor, to the point that I couldn't imagine doing without it.
Yeah, it's got to be a great feeling to have all these moving parts, all the different instrumentalists that make up an orchestra, but making a unified sound with them and really shaping the sound.
Yeah.
So you had an opportunity to study with Alan Gilbert, and I'm wondering what, you know, were some of the ideas that he passed on or some skills that you picked up from him that you're still finding relevant now in your career?
Without doubt, Alan has had the greatest impact on my conducting of any conductor I've studied with, or really any conductor around. I mean, I've just spent so much time with him when I was at Juilliard. What I really admire about his approach to conducting is that it's so complete, in the sense that he looks at it from all possible angles. He talks about the importance of score studying, and he goes through how you study a score, how do you break down the measures, what is the form of the piece, and how do those elements contribute to the interpretation of the piece. But at the same time, he has an equal eye for the technique of conducting and in various settings. How can you physically express your will and your thoughts of the music? And he gets really into the nitty-gritty of the way to drive an orchestra. I think some of the most valuable experiences I had with him were when we would have lab orchestra at Juilliard, and sometimes he would just, basically he would conduct, but he would let us essentially just have our hand on his, so that we could literally feel the physical sensation of the motions he was making to produce the music he wanted.
Wow. I've never heard anyone talk about learning like that, and it's really interesting because I've been training horses in dressage, and it's kind of the same thing. My trainer will hold the horse's reins in her hands, like right near his bit, so that I can feel what I should be doing to get the right kind of movement out of him. So that's really fascinating.
100%. I mean, I think it's obvious, and it's not, and it doesn't necessarily get talked about as such, but conducting is an extremely physical act. I won't say it's primarily a physical activity, but it's an extremely physical activity, and learning by doing is really important.
Well, sure, and it's got to be a disadvantage for conductors. I mean, I'm really stating the obvious here, because you don't have an instrument you can practice on whenever you feel like it. You've got to get in front of actual musicians to try to get that. So what kind of things do you do when you're not on the podium to, you know, get prepared to conduct?
I find that it starts with learning the music really well. This changes depending on what stage of conducting you're at. When you start out, actually it's just a challenge to get basic beats, to conduct 4/4 and to make it look pretty and to be in time. Even asserting or establishing basic technique is in and of itself a challenge. But as time goes on and as you gain more experience, the question becomes more about how well do you know the music? Because insofar as the technique is ingrained in you, once you know the music, it actually starts kind of automatically being expressed through your emotions. So without a doubt, the number one thing I do to prepare for a concert is to study the score, to go over it. Some of the best time I have studying is actually when I'm away from the score and I'll be taking a walk or getting a coffee, and then I'll actually just be thinking the music in my head to see how much of it I've memorized, and kind of going through it that way can be really helpful too.
You know, there are so many, we hear from so many sources that young people just aren't interested in classical music, and yet here you are, I'm talking with you. But what sort of things do you have in mind if you do get the job with Ridgefield Symphony? What sort of things have you been kicking around that you might do to get young people into the concert hall?
I think there are two aspects to this. One aspect of this is to understand the community that the orchestra serves. And depending on the orchestra, that can be wildly different. So with the Ridgefield Symphony, I would want to really understand the demographics of Ridgefield. I think I have a fairly accurate sense of what it's like. I grew up in a town of similar demographics. And inspecting, okay, not just the young people, but what does the population here in general want? from a musical institution. I think thinking about an or putting the label orchestra on it, even though obviously it is an orchestra, might restrict your imagination or thinking. What does the community really crave for from an orchestra? And approaching things that way can lead to a lot of fun and new creative ideas. On another level, to address the general youth in classical music problem that's been, to an extent, I think, a little bit sensationalized. Mm-hmm. My thinking there has always been, you have to start with what the folks want. What do young people want? And in particular, what do young people listen to?
Right.
And the answer there is actually readily available. In fact, there's lots of data about this with the advent of streaming, you know, Spotify, Pandora, Apple Music, etc., YouTube. There's tons of data to demonstrate what young people like. And for me, a very organic approach to this question is to think about why folks like that. Why do young people listen to the music they do? And what aspects of those values exist in classical music, which they obviously do because, you know, much of Western popular music is derived from classical music's lineage. Mm-hmm. And for me, developing concerts that establish those themes, that point out these themes, can give young people a true reason, organic reason, to come to the concert hall.
That sounds really exciting. Well, it's going to be a wonderful evening and a chance for the Richfield Symphony's audience to get to know you and you to get to know the orchestra. And Yuga, it's been great talking with you, and best of luck with your audition.
Thank you very much.